This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow, I can't believe Sparky put this one in the bump rotation. He'll know why. If you know, you know. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. It's the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. It is a great song, though.
I love it.
Don't you, Mace? I love this one.
I mean,
this whole album is just kick butt.
I don't want it to end. Bring it.
Yes.
All right.
I love it. All right, let's get to it, though. Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, is with us. And, Scott, how you doing today?
I'm good. You guys can just play the song over me if you want.
I mean, don't tempt us.
Just put it in the background. I like it.
Yeah.
How's it going, Scott?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing great.
All right. So, we're talking Packers-Texans, and, so much has been made this week of Love versus Stroud. And I literally look at I turn on ESPN right now, and Stephen A's show – they're doing their predictions of the game right now, but obviously they were doing a big quarterback comparison before they got to their predictions. How much have you heard of this? You know, have you bought into, or have you, you know, you've been aware of this? And it's fun, but it's just kind of like a side headline, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard a lot of it over the last week, and honestly, even over the last year. There was a decent amount of it last year when Stroud and Love were both going through their breakouts a little bit. And I think they have similar supporting casts, too. It's a shame we won't see Nico Collins, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL right now, but they're very similar in that they have two solid running backs, two solid tight ends, very good depth of options at receiver. I mean, it's two very fun offenses to watch, and it should be a very fun game to watch. But ultimately, I don't know. I mean, Matt LaFleur talked about the comparison between the two of the quarterbacks, and it doesn't really matter when push comes to shove. It's not like they're going to play each other all the time. It's every 4 years. But there's definitely been a lot of talk about the two of them, and it makes sense. It's an exciting matchup.
Yeah, I think what they are kind of bringing to the game is so unique. Just I love how they're able to stay in the pocket and have a great pocket presence, but then move around. But it is, and I know LaFleur, that's always his favorite thing too, is like, well, the quarterbacks don't play each other, so what are the actual matchups? The matchups are CJ Stroud versus Jair versus Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, like who's he going against on the defensive side of the Packers, and Jordan Love on the other, the other side as well. So my question to you is, what do you think about where this defense is at right now? Do you think they are going to just keep getting better? And, it's hard to imagine they find more turnovers than what they've already found. And just kind of your overall take on this team from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I don't know how much better you can get in terms of turnovers. They're leading the NFL. They have been pretty much the whole year. And, Xavier McKinney is unbelievable. That's everything that Packers and Packers fans could have wanted and so much more. And that sometimes takes a little attention away from the other two safeties of Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, who are both playing phenomenal too. I mean, Evan Williams, I think, I don't know, is subscribed to PFF and their ratings, but it's not bad when you're the number one rated safety in the entire NFL. And Javon Bullard gets forgotten about a lot because of how good McKinney and Williams have been, but he's been phenomenal too. I mean, the only way the defense can get better, in my opinion, is if the pass rush gets a little better. That's definitely something that's been a little bit lacking. Obviously, Rashawn Gary has not had the season that Packers fans have grown to expect. So I think that's something that needs to change to get to another level. But I don't know how much better you can get, because even if that, I mean, it's three turnovers a game, and if you're getting three turnovers a game, you're winning.
Yeah, so, and I agree with you on that. As the weather starts turning, like historically, I feel like you'll see our pass rush, you know, start picking up. It just feels like every time October comes around, all those things, the footing, everything starts kind of changing. People come in, especially in Lambeau Field, people come in there and it's like, all right, now is when we unleash our pass rush. This is whenever we become more disruptive in that part of the game. But yeah, the turnovers are amazing right now, and it's been so much fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been great to watch from this defense do what people have wanted a Packers defense to do for a very long time. And in the pass rush, you know, I mean, it's a nitpick when your defense is playing that well. And also, I would be more concerned if you were seeing struggles from the Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, the unproven rookies. When it's Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary who aren't exactly up to their normal standards, you know, they've built up a lot of goodwill that's going to get turned around. Those are two all-pro caliber players, and the two of them certainly set the tone for the rest of the pass rush. And I tend to think Rashawn Gary is more what we have seen for the previous 4 years than what we've seen for the previous 4 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, offensively, obviously, Jordan Love coming back from injury. Malik Willis did such a good job of filling in. And again, a masterclass in just planning and concept, you know, what they did on offense to get him in positions to go out there and win ball games. Because what they had him trying to do in Tennessee whenever he'd get on the field was five-step drops, trying to read the field, do all the stuff. And, you know, Packers just leaned on Josh Jacobs, you know, a good offensive line, and just was like getting the ball out of his hands and letting him run if he needed to. So I give, you know, Matt LaFleur and that offensive staff a lot of credit for the position they put Malik Willis in. And, you know, I thought Jordan Love came back one game too early. I know he wanted to play against the Vikings and doing all that, but, you know, proving that at least it wasn't a detriment. He didn't get hurt more in that game. He's continued to improve since that Vikings game, and through that game he got better. That's, you know, that was important to me to see, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, why push him back? This is a long season. But you know, proving to get healthy and, you know, do a lot of really good things. So interested to hear your take on the offense. And then obviously we need to, you know, talk about, you know, the new kicking situation and what the special teams have been, and you know, kind of what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I will say it's definitely why people want to listen to the Mason Crosby show, is to hear me talk about special teams and kicking. That's
I'll jump in a little bit, but you know, I like to hear other people's takes and what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, I starting with the offense. I mean, I thought Matt LaFleur's 2 weeks with Malik Willis, as good as he has had a run as a play caller and a coach with the Packers. I mean, it was phenomenally game planned. It wasn't just that it was Jacobs. It was so much misdirection. And at times it felt like I was watching like a really efficient lower division high school football team, where there's just so much movement going on. And it's, you know, for me as someone who's on the field actually shooting the game with a camera, I mean, it's hard to know where the ball is. They did a great job with that for Malik Willis, who obviously had his share of struggles with Tennessee. And then I agree with you. I think Jordan Love came back one game too early. Hindsight's 20/20. But he, you know, he looked off in the Minnesota game. And
he
certainly got better as it went on. And frankly, if that Minnesota game was another quarter, the Packers win. But he definitely looked off early, and he was just late. He was late on throws. It didn't look like he was really getting good push off on his back foot. And a lot of them were a little bit lazier passes than what we've seen from him. But, you know, any concerns that you had about him in that Minnesota game are gone after the Arizona game. He looks every bit the part. I mean, I work in a news station, so I had a couple of producer friends talking to me about, should Malik Willis be the guy going forward after 2 weeks? He hasn't lost a game. Should he stay? I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly.
He played really efficiently, and it was a really good game plan by LaFleur. But Jordan Love is, aside from obviously being a better quarterback right now, the potential for what Jordan Love can be is through the roof. I mean, it's you know, the last two games at Lambeau are both four touchdown games. No one's done that since 95. That's not.
He's been insane. No doubt. And he's, obviously you make moves, you make, you know, choices, and, as a personnel side, you hit some, you lose some. And obviously on that, the bringing the players that they did from the Titans, Malik Willis has proved to be a good one. Unfortunately, Narvison didn't quite pan out. And so, now we've obviously gotten through that kind of experiment, thinking this young guy could come in and, have a big leg and do some good things. And, I hate to see guys struggle like that. It's just you don't know what is going on in someone's head and, in their mechanics and what they're trying to accomplish. But now that they've moved on from him to Brandon McManus, and we're going to get to see him in a new uniform in a new space for the first time, which, is still weird for me talking about Packers a little bit, being there for so long and in that position. But also excited to see what what he can do. He he played in Denver. Everyone's okay, he's played outdoors, he's played on grass and different things like that, but Lambeau is a whole different animal. And I'm excited and interested to see what Brandon can do there with the Packers. And then again, I think Keyshawn Nixon needs to continue to return punts, get the ball in his hands as much as possible. They're not kicking off to him, obviously, as much as they can avoid. Late in the season, there might not be choices if the wind gets really bad. Like, he's probably going to get the ball in his hands a little bit, but he's still so dynamic and make some great plays with his ball in his hands. And it looks like the punter is having a great year too.
Yeah, no, Whelan's been great, and Nixon, I don't need to see Jaden Reed taking punts or anything at this point. Jaden Reed is too important to the offense, and honestly, totally. Nixon is more explosive anyway. So I'm after the Whittle injury scare last week, and then Nixon brought that 40 yards back afterwards. I'm good seeing only 25 back there for the rest of the season. Kicking wise, I'm curious what you think with Narvison if he had enough time. I understand why they did what they did, especially when you have someone like Brandon McManus, who I'm not going to get into a situation that I'm not involved in, but there's a reason why he was a free agent. Get rid of that, and there's zero chance he's a free agent. He's been one of the best kickers in the league for the last 10 years. He has a very powerful leg and an accurate leg. So I get why they did it from a football perspective, but for you, do you think that Narvison got enough of a shot?
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of attempts. I mean, obviously they were working him. 17 field goal attempts in the first, six games. So, that's quite a few attempts. But, he actually technically, I guess, missed six field goals. The one got called back for a penalty, ended up, making one at that point. So, he missed a kick in every game. I feel like a six-game window, it felt like he wasn't correcting his miss as well. Everything just kind of kept missing to the right. For me, it was interesting because, and again, it looked like he had a very similar ball striking, kind of technique as Carlson did. So whatever evaluation they had on him, I felt like they were fairly similar in like their skill set and honestly in kind of what they had done historically. So I was a little surprised when they made that move, especially with the guys they had in the building. Invested in Carlson, put some time into it. Greg Joseph is there. It's like it's hard to imagine just bringing someone in, replacing those guys, and having success right away. So it was a risk they took. Obviously didn't pan out, and hate that for a young guy. But they're licking their wounds, trying to figure out, okay, can they get a 10-11 year, I guess technically Brandon said this is his 12th year. He bounced around a little bit, trying to get a guy that's had experience, been around to a bunch of different, a few different teams, and hopefully he can right the ship a little bit with it. Might have a little bit of longer runway than some guys, and that seems to be their plan right now. So we'll see if it pans out for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, just being out there, I McManus is someone who I'm not going to be holding my breath with every 35-yard kick, and that doesn't mean he's going to be perfect. And it's been 10 months since he's kicked a field goal. So who knows, but the last year and a half, it's been a lot of holding your breath. I think, what was it, the Matt LaFleur says a prayer before the Carlson kicks last year was the poll quote that came out.
That's never what you want to hear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're about to have to run into a break, but really appreciate you jumping on and giving your insight, and hopefully we can have you on again sometime.
Yeah, anytime. Happy to join the show.
Scott, thanks so much for jumping on.
Thank you.
That's Scott Grodzki, CBS 58. Check him out in the evenings. He's on CBS 58, the sports anchor and reporter there. He covers everything. He's covering the Badgers. He's covering the Packers. He's covering the Bucks. He is always out and about in the community doing a great, great job. So that's Scott Grodzki. Follow him on Twitter, @ScottGrodzki. Coming up, we're going to go inside Mason's head. We're going to preview some of the stuff coming up this weekend, tonight and this weekend. But we gotta get inside Mason's head. It's those extra points coming up on the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.